is still my town. My town.
Hi, welcome. Welcome back, I should say. Katie and I are starting season two of Connecting Clarkston today, and we're super excited because we made it to season two, first of all.
Yes.
That's a milestone for us. And something exciting we have this year, this season, I should say, is we have a new theme song. So when you're listening, it's really fun. So a local,
debut today,
this local band that is amazing. If you haven't heard One Ton Trolley, please listen up because they're amazing. And they have offered their song called Our Town to us as our theme song. Yeah. So we're very excited. And he's going to be on our podcast, the lead singer, Bill Arnold, next. So that's super exciting for us to start out.
I just saw that he's performing at Wiltsy's.
I was
February
just going to ask you that. Yes. So is it the downstairs?
Yes.
I love what they're doing there.
Amazing. It is amazing.
Yeah, great.
Well, so starting our season two, we're starting fresh, you know, fresh new season. And we're starting with three very important guests here. Talk about new beginnings. It's sort of a new beginning for all three of you because you're all three newly elected to the Clarkston City Council. We have Ms. Mayor here, Sue Wiley, and Council Members Peg Roth and Ted Quisenberry. Thank you all for coming and spending the afternoon here with us to chit-chat.
Thank you for having
us.
You're welcome. We all love Clarkston. I think that's probably assumed based on your, you know, willingness to volunteer your time on the council. And Katie and I's, our whole podcast is basically about Clarkston and the people and the stories and what makes it great, I guess, is our mission. And just to kind of highlight, you know, what Clarkston's all about. So thank you
for being here
and sharing your stories. Yeah. I guess maybe let's just start out right in the present. How did you guys find yourselves on the council? I know you all have probably volunteered and been a part of the community for a long time in various ways, but this year, how did you guys find yourselves on the council?
Sorry, just a quick little, like, how did you end up at Clarkston?
You want to start there?
Just because Sue was saying she was a teacher, which I assumed in Clarkston.
But it wasn't.
But it was not.
It was at Clarkston.
So, yeah.
But I'm originally from Ohio, from the Cleveland area, and I moved to Clarkston in 1987 when my husband's job brought him to Michigan. And we're looking in Rochester and Troy and all sorts of areas, and somebody back in Ohio said, look in Clarkston, you will love it. And I still remember driving into town through Main Street. It was like, this is it. We're done looking. All we have to do now is find a house. And the first house was on East Lawn right by Clarkston Elementary, and lived there from 87 till we moved to the city of the village of Clarkston in 94 on Middle Lake Road. And I love it. So that's how I ended up in Clarkston.
So it was in the 80s? That was when
moved
you first?
Moved in 87 to Clarkston, and 94 to the city of the village of Clarkston.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. And how about you, Peg?
I moved to Clarkston when my husband and I were married in 1977.
Oh, okay.
Their family owned Foodtown, and so I was indoctrinated to Clarkston right then. And from the time we moved in, I've done volunteer work throughout, and then even more so once our kids got into the school system. Originally, we lived in Waterford Hills, so we were in Clarkston, but not in Clarkston. So then we moved into the village, but we have been very active in the community throughout. So it's a great place to live.
Peg the other day and found out she owned Foodtown.
It brings back a lot. People are like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, Foodtown, which is now Salvation Army.
Correct.
And was
before that it was Farmer Jack's.
Farmer Jack's.
So when we sold, we were trying to keep the employees that we had to keep seniority for them. Originally it didn't work out, and then so we held out until we could secure for our employees, and so it worked out, Farmer Jack's. So then turned in Farmer Jack's, and then the whole chain went out. And so that's when it became Salvation Army. So we still own the building, but so there are, they are our tenants.
Okay.
Wow. Ted, have you found your way to Clarkston?
Well, my mom and dad and our family moved to Clarkston in 1962, and just north of the village, actually out by, just north of I-75 in Independence Township, and we had a horse ranch there for 10 years, something like that. We moved out of Clarkston into Groveland Township in around 70, and my wife and I married, built a house out there, and we lived there. But we always, my wife was a K through 12 student at Clarkson High School, Clarkson Schools, lived in the orchards. And we always wanted, we thought we'd come back to Clarkson at some point in time. And we ended up moving back, buying a old historic home on Holcomb Street in 2020, ended up redoing it all and moved in 2021. And have been there since then. So back a long time ago lived here and now been back for 3 years and so.
Nice. Well, I guess maybe I was jumping the gun about where we are now. One of the things I'm wondering about, since you guys all have lived here a long time and have seen Clarkston in many different phases and Independence Township, are the things that I kind of wonder about, things that have stayed the same, things that have been constant all these years? And I know things have changed, but have there been any, you know, the thread that has remained the same through all the decades that you guys have lived here?
Rudy's.
Rudy's.
Yeah,
that's
mm-hmm.
the answer.
Yeah.
It was there.
Yeah.
As I said, back in the early 60s, we would come up to town and we would know where all the different stores were at the time, where there was a traffic light there in town. It was a far different community than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other things that have remained the same, aside from the businesses changing, obviously, and, you know, Rudy's is one of the old...
Depot Park for me. That's Park, even yeah. when I lived in Independence Township, we always came to Depot Park because yeah. it was the nicest little park and it was great for little children.
Mm-hmm. Geez, we did that with our kids.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah,
we both did. Yeah.
Yes.
We had a group of us. We would go to Deer Lake. Work out when our kids were very small, and then we would go to Depot Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It was back then, and still is right now, the we'll call it the quintessential small town. Mm-hmm. And that part has changed, but it really hasn't. The whole concept of Clarkston and the residents and the homes and the neighborhoods that you have within the village has pretty much just remained a small, quaint town mm-hmm. that people want to live in.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, we came back and we raised our kids here too. I guess part of part of the mission that we have is what is it about Clarkston that keeps it that consistent, quintessential little town? Like, how are we able to grow and change but still remain charming and a place you want to raise your kids and your kids want to stay? And what do you think that special sauce is?
I think because we know each other. And so, like, you are here, and your dad, how many years ago, was on the council with me. My kids left, and two out of the three of them have come back. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a comfort. I think it's a real comfort level mm-hmm. with people knowing each other, calling your neighbors if you need mm-hmm. something. Your neighbor down the road, they have grandkids or they get a new dog. It's a comfort.
I think it's maybe a little bit, too, when you're saying that. And I think we've had a lot of guests who live in Clarkston, maybe work in another community. Like I know we were just talking, right? You worked in Royal Oak?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. and I think, you come back home and you're known. Mm-hmm. Where I think a lot of the communities, it's hard to, and I don't know if it's because you have your roots here, necessarily, and so, like, I always want to say there's like 2 degrees of separation between Anne and anyone else
right.
with her giant family.
That's true.
I think it's the connections.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's a lot of generations here. Like Peg said, her two of her children are living here. Like on my street, there's a number of families where their grandparents mm-hmm. are here, their children are here. I think that's true all over Clarkston, where generations keep coming back mm-hmm. and loving it.
And I do think the community aspect, I think people giving back, like what you three are doing, it kind of reminds me of people are willing to and step up to serve in the community. I mean, I'm sure you guys aren't on the council and you're not the mayor because, you're making the big bucks and, that's not what you're doing it for. And I think that's also speaks to like creating this community. And I'm just kind of wondering, what do you guys hope to do and what was your motivation to serve the community in this way, being on the council? And
I'm on a lot of different things, so mm-hmm. I can tell you that there are a lot of people in this community that do a lot of volunteer, and they're always very hardworking and wanting to improve, and as we were talking about before you started recording this, things that are going on in this area that people don't know about, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of people that work hard to make the community the way it is.
Yeah.
So I think that is notable for our yeah. area.
Yeah. Back to what you mentioned a little bit ago about the change in it, and I think it's managing the change so that we can evolve and try to better ourselves, better the community in certain ways without losing the identity of what really makes us special and important. We can all look around us at communities that are far different than what they were 20 and 30 years ago because they didn't manage it. They allowed it to just progress as it did, and now it's an entirely different setup than it used to be. And it's very unusual and rare, mm-hmm. and I think good, that a community can go through some of the changes, some of the growth, but still not lose its identity as to what it is. So,
yeah, I agree. As mayor, do you feel this pressure to like, okay, we have to continue what has been done for decades now? And or how do you feel about this position that you said before, yeah, I never thought I was gonna be mayor.
I never thought I was gonna be mayor. It was not on my plan. I've been on council for 7 years, and over that time, occasionally people would say, we'd like to see you run for mayor, and I just said, it's not what I wanna do. I'll stay on council. But it almost fell in my lap because the previous mayor, Eric Haven, mm-hmm. Resigned, and I was mayor pro tem, and I had been for most of my time on council. And I said, this is my time, this is what I want to do. So do I feel pressure? Not pressure to keep things the same in Clarkston, because I think there's a lot of people who want to keep things the same in Clarkston. When I first ran for council, and I ran 7 years ago, our slogan was, have a nice city, and I still mm-hmm. want to see it, have a nice city.
Yeah.
One of the things that, along with the people, one of the things that Clarkston has is we have all these beautiful historic buildings that really helps. I think it reminds people of we can't give up on the past.
Hmm. That's interesting. And what obviously there's a lot of historic buildings, and the Historical Society does a lot of work to maintain those buildings and maintain like this the shared history of our town.
We actually have two different groups. We have within this Clarkston city government, we have the Clarkston Historical District, which legally and within the nation, the state, the locally, they manage to make sure that we follow certain city, people mm-hmm. in that district follow the rules and make sure that we keep historic structures. But there's also the Clarkston Community Historical Society, which does not have any regulatory ability within the city, mm-hmm. but they do help foster the love of something historical within not just Clarkston, but all of Independence Township. And I think mm-hmm. they even spread out a little bit into Springfield Township.
So which one of those would be the ones that designate the, for example, the homes that have been on the Underground Railroad? You know, there's a few that were, I think, identified in Clarkston, I don't know, some years ago. Do you know which group?
I don't know specifically which group. Huh. The signs that are out front mm-hmm. are from the Clarkston Community Historical Society. I think there's a lot of people who are in both groups, so there may be a little bit of cross work.
Interesting, okay.
I was just going to ask too. So there are seven of you on the board. Who are the other four members that are not here?
Laura Rogers.
Amanda
Forte.
Mark.
And
Lanphier. Mark Lanphier.
And
Casey.
Okay.
And you guys have gotten involved. Is there a way?
Can I make one?
Oh, yeah.
Amanda is not, she's not Forte now. She's Amanda Wakefield.
Oh, okay. Mm. Noted. Okay. Are there projects we were talking about before? Are there projects that you guys are actively working on that you'd like to talk about and let people know about? Because I know that, you know, there's lots of different ways to hear about things, but I'm not sure that everyone hears everything. So are there certain projects that the council would like to kind of get the word out about? Maybe things you need help with, projects that are coming up, anything like that?
Things that the community should be aware
yeah.
of.
I do. I have a few things, but I'm going to have to, in order to be accurate,
yeah.
First of all, one of the things that I think is really cool, real estate one does in our neighborhood, and the real estate office that's right in town on Church Street and Main Street, is they
a Depot. Few.
Depot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have a couple times a year, and they call it Lunch for a Cause, And so all of the people that work there, they bring in, it's like a big potluck. It's really cute. And then they always designate it, for instance, on February 21st at noon, they're doing another one. This is benefiting SCAMP. So you go, they accept cash, and all the money goes to SCAMP. I've been there, they've done it for a cancer victim. There's always somebody from the community. It's really a nice, nice thing that they do. And then Pinwheels, of course, through the, that is youth assistance.
Clarkston Area Youth Assistance.
Yeah, and that's the month of April. And so that's to prevent child abuse, and then it has expanded now to be also for the safety and well-being of our youth. There was a time we were afraid that some of the advertising that we put out, for instance, posters, things by the schools, that the child abuse was a little too much for the kids, so we were trying to soften and also to create more of what we were working on. So the month of April, you'll see pinwheels, blue pinwheels.
Do people purchase those?
Well, yeah, we call it planting garden. So you make a donation, and then depending on what your donation is, that will tell how many of these they're blue pinwheels you get, and you just stick them in the ground. Mm-hmm. For the bigger spots, we have little yard signs, and then we have bigger, big signs, like I put in front of the mills and in front of the Clarkston Crossings, but that's what it's for. So the month of April, you'll see blue pinwheels. Oh. And every year, it's gotten bigger and expanded mm-hmm. more. Clarkston's been extremely good of people wanting to participate. It's been really, really nice. The other thing, the July 4th parade, we have a new addition in our parade. Ooh. It's very cool. We always have someone special that does the national anthem right in front of what we call it the main stage, which is right in front of Rudy's. The other stage, second stage, is down the road by Miller. But it's a young man, he's 27 years old. At least Laura Rogers from the council was able to get me in touch with him. His name is Corbin Knapp, and every year on Robertson Court, he sings the national anthem for his neighbors before the fireworks, and it's always been his dream to sing in the parade.
Wow. Nice.
So this year, he's going to be in front of Rudy singing the national anthem for us.
That's wonderful.
It is really very cool. And the other thing I just wanted to mention was the food donation in front of Calverly every Wednesday for those in need, and there are always in need people to volunteer to hand out food. Just for a couple hours on a Wednesday, I think it's just so admirable of Calverly, the things they do. I think
so. Anyone can come up. This is at Calverly. Anyone can come up to this. What is it, a food bank?
It's a food bank, okay, is what it is. And you sign up through different, churches. You can call Calverly. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if you came in, got in line, I'm sure you would be mm-hmm. able to. But most of the people are pre-registered, mm-hmm. and so I think it runs from 8. I believe, I can't remember, it's been a couple months since I've done it, at least 6 months or so. Starts early in the morning, but it goes until I think 11.
Okay.
But Calverly, they're always doing something, so just wanted to mention that.
That's good.
I think that I have seen this sign a couple of times. Is it Chloe's Closet? There's some.
Oh,
I think the
yes,
Clarkston
there
United
is.
Methodist Church does yes. that, perhaps?
No, that's a pantry. That's
I
a
see it
pantry.
Heading like down to Depot.
There is.
And I keep
I wish
to look
you would ask
that.
Me before because I totally forget what it is.
Okay. I'll have to look into it.
I'll send you something.
Okay.
My daughter knows about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've been yeah. meaning to look into that yeah. for months. So, okay.
There was, I would be guessing right now, so I won't
All right.
say what I think it is. And I can put this on the table now.
Okay.
You mentioned something about the things that the council is looking to do and stuff, and any projects or whatever. I mean, we're just now coming into our budget year, so we're going to be busy for a while getting the next year's budget in place and start that process, which we have to do every year. There's another issue that's been kind of on the table for a while, and it has to do with Depot Park and improvements or additions to the Depot Park area. And what we'd really like is to find out some community input. What is it that, if there is funding available, whether it's general fund or money from generated from taxes that the city spends, or if it's donations or whatever, what is it that the community would like to see in Depot Park as far as additions and or improvements before decisions are made on what the money's going to be spent on? We'd like to have an idea is what are the users? What do they want? And give them an opportunity. That's something that's kind of on the table right now, and over the next couple of months, you'll probably be hearing a little bit more about that.
How does the council communicate with the community? How does that happen?
Well, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking, because as we were talking about this, so Eric Haven had come on with us mm-hmm. quite a few times when he was acting as mayor, and was basically trying to get word out, you know, through the podcast, which we liked, and we want to offer that up to you guys too. Any of the council members that want to pop on occasionally and update on things, we'd like to be a resource for you to share information and connect with the community. So we have a newsletter that we send out, this e-newsletter that a couple times a month we'll send out, and it has information, just all different things happening in the community. And I think it was Tom Lowry had reached out to us and had asked, because we'll share a link to Independence Township trustee meetings, the school yes. board meetings. Yep. And he had said it would be nice if you could share things about Clarkston City Council. And I think the minutes from the meetings, which I think that's a hard thing to send out and have people read the minutes.
They're not very interesting.
Yeah. I don't want to be insulting, but I don't know if that's like a real page turner.
Is it recorded? Is it?
Well, yeah, we're just talking television. To oh, Jonathan about that. Okay. And so I was like, or John, sorry.
You know, you could do something though that would be like a highlight, what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
The problem with trying to get word to the community, what we used to use is the Clarkson News. That's not really available to us anymore. They used to come, Don Rush used to come to all of our council meetings and make notes on everything and interview us afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, comments. Now I think Matt might listen to the recording. I don't know how he gets his information. But it's really difficult because other than that, you and I talked about, you know, there is another person who puts out some things.
Yeah.
That's sometimes hard for people to read that one. So I was saying yours is more the flip side of that, where she's very informative and very detailed. You are more on the happy side of things. Mm-hmm. But you can't go door to door to people.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually asked, did some checking because I understand the HDC has been doing something like that. And so I checked into it to see how, because that seems pretty invasive, and you know, and we're all being very cautious about people coming on our porch. It has to be something that's sanctioned by the city in order to do that kind of a survey. So short of the ways we used to do it, calling, mm-hmm. people don't like to, you know, most of the time people don't even answer a phone.
Right.
It's very difficult to reach people.
Sometimes you have to force feed it. And there are ways that information, transparency government can be shown that we're doing it. I mean, the meetings are open to the public, they're televised, minutes are on the website, an update that the township supervisor, the Jonathan, puts out every week after the meeting, that is a summary of things that have just happened and other things that are going on that any of the residents can sign up for and can get. So you say, how do you get things to the public? It's there, but a lot of times, sadly, mm-hmm. people aren't interested unless they have something that is affecting them.
That's so true.
So, I mean, that's part of our underlying thing here, too, is even with sharing out the school board videos and the trustee videos. There's so much information. One, we're all very busy. Nobody mm-hmm. has time. I mean, I started watching the meetings to try to give summaries of them, which Anne's always like, okay, Katie spent another 6 hours this week watching videos.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And those meetings are very long. Sometimes.
They are long. Yeah. But it is, I feel like, right, you aren't engaged until all of a sudden you have a very big reason to be engaged, and then it's catch up. Where were you the whole time leading up to this?
Right.
I lived in Groveland Township for 42 years, and I think I went to a township board meeting twice, and it had to do with some tax issue that was there, and that was it. There was nothing really to draw me to have to go. I stayed involved. I knew what was going on, but I just was an outsider, just aware. And sadly, that's the way most of the people are until all of a sudden the issue is theirs. But I think the information is there, and there are still other ways that we can go about and try to get it in front of them, even if they're not looking.
Is there any, are there any social media options that give that quick, you know, people are looking for that quick hit, the video, the, you know,
engage,
this few sentences update?
I think we have an elderly population in Clarkston, so I think for a lot of what you were just mentioning, those people don't know how to access something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a question, I guess I'm trying to think, you know, if you were someone who has a question, but if you really don't know where to go, I think it's hard to find.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other than calling City Hall office.
Yeah.
The city
mm-hmm.
does have a Facebook page.
Okay.
I don't believe it's used a lot, mm-hmm. partly because there just isn't the manpower available in the City Hall staff to manage it.
Yeah.
And they do have a lot of emails. Everybody in the city, or even outside the city, is invited to be included on the email list, which does include Jonathan Smith, the city manager's letter that he sends out every week. And you know, people can look on the website, and we are getting a new website. The website we have right now is it's a lot outdated. And our city clerk, I believe, is in the process of working on getting the new one implemented. So hopefully that'll help too.
What is the average age of the city of the village? Do you know offhand?
I do not.
Of the residents?
The only thing I know is, and I looked that up before coming today, it's something like 60% of the population does not have children. So that would make about 40% does have children. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily elderly. Right. They could be people who just don't have children yet or maybe never will have children.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I know when my dad was here chatting with us, the first episode
first
of season
ever
one. First ever guest, he and Missy Ludd.
It's actually our most viewed episode.
It is?
Yep, I just was looking. Yep.
Shout out to Dad.
Yeah.
but he was talking about how he is really interested in getting the next generation involved, and he's working with the environmental group here at the high school, and he lives in the village also, obviously, and I think we were just kind of brainstorming a little bit about how to, you know, pass the torch to the next generation, because it isn't always going to be, you know, 60% and above have no kids. I'm sure it's going to flip over in the village, I would assume. I don't know these
things.
But
sure.
Hopefully,
yeah.
You know, you want to. And so I guess I'm just kind of just sitting here wondering. I don't have an agenda about it at all, but just wondering how do you engage the next generation to become, because not everyone is civically minded just by nature, right? So
right.
Like you were saying, Ted, they get involved if they find an issue that's important to them. But you kind of have to be involved with a lot of it so you understand, you know, the whole story, and you can have an informed opinion. I'm just kind of wondering, how do we get other people involved that are younger, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Probably social media.
Yeah,
it's probably
and
the best way.
And I think that was something like Eric Haven had talked a lot about, your dad had talked a lot about. And I wonder too, even just with like student government here, you know, I feel mm-hmm. like a lot of opportunities probably lie within the school.
Yeah.
And bringing those kids in, just even as a learning experience. I think for me, just talking to you guys, I didn't know you had to have 7 people on a board.
Even the American Legion actually has the same type of thing,
a program
where they send high school students, and they are assigned different positions in the government, mm-hmm. so that they're learning that as well.
Yeah.
But I've talked about that with people with the Rotary and the Optimus. How do you get people? Like, my kids have been involved in everything I've put on, but they want to be in a situation where you're doing something. They don't want to go to 7 o'clock meetings in the morning, and they don't want to go to 6 o'clock meetings in the evening because they're too busy.
Right. Yeah.
And so my kids will come, they'll pack boxes for the troops. They have done all the things, a parade. If somebody's missing that's supposed to be marching in the parade, I throw them shirts and tell them to go get in line. And they are always willing and wanting to do this. But they don't want, it's got to be reshaped somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that it's not, in order to be involved, you can't, they won't come. They just will not do those meetings.
Right.
And so we keep talking and, you know, throwing it around. How do you get them involved when what you want them to get involved in is to sit in meetings like that, and they won't?
You know, your fourth graders, when your children are in fourth grade, they all come to Clarkston City Hall as part of the Village of Clarkston tour, so they have been there maybe some way of continuing that aspect and letting them, again, see more about local government.
Like a little follow-up.
Maybe get to see township government and city government and state. Well, they see state government probably also in fourth grade, maybe.
Or I think they it is.
You go to Lansing.
But Independence Township, that would be, I mean, Paul would probably be willing to set that up.
Yeah.
How closely do you guys work with Independence Township, speaking of?
I'm very good friends with the board. I actually wanted to be on the board, but I'm a resident of the village.
You can't.
So I couldn't. And unless I move into one of our rental units, I couldn't be on the board. But I think they're an incredible group of people.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a close relationship between Jonathan Smith, the current Clarkston city manager, and people in Independence Township, because they continuously reach out. And Clarkston, we use a lot of Independence Township services. Mm-hmm. Our fire department, our police services, even though the police is sheriff's county sheriff, it is, I think it's administered through Independence Township. We share a library. We share sewer services, so there's a lot between both communities.
Are there any other communities in our area that have the setup that we have between, like, the city of the village and Independence Township?
Rochester and Rochester Hills is a possibility, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that it's uncommon. I think that, like, you take the village of Holly and the township of Holly, or the village of Whartonville and the township of Brandon. I think they all have a similar setup like we have here, and it may not be as cohesive, but to the point that you mentioned, I think it'd be a good idea if there was more interaction formally and structurally with the city and the township. I know there's other communities that are side by side with one another, and every once in a while they have an exchange. One of the board members from the township would come and exchange seats with a board member from the village, just so that you get some exposure. I say village, I mean city. Exposure to what the others are going on, and it would probably help. And maybe even if it's just a meeting twice a year between the two boards to talk about issues that are similar to both of them, I think that'd be a good idea. I don't think that's being done, but I just think it'd be something that would be worthwhile going into. So
yeah, I'm surprised to hear the two boards never meet.
We've had Pat Kittle, who was the former township supervisor, come to our meetings. I can't think of anybody else elected official who has been, but that doesn't mean it hasn't happened. And Dave McKee, who is or was one of the, I can't say what he does exactly for the township. I know he's involved with sewers. He has come to our meetings several times.
Okay.
I think the place that we do cross is through the chamber, though, because those of us that sit out, well, I'm not on the board anymore, but at one time, I mean, Pat Kittle, Paul Brown, so we would all, you know, I guess there is where we sit and chat.
So there's some room for growth,
share stories.
Maybe,
that's a good idea.
Certainly.
Yeah,
I mean, that the topics on most of that interaction is probably increasing commerce and whatever, and not so much governmental services and what can we do to benefit each other. But both of them, the chamber as well as a more interactive role that each of the units have with one another. So.
Right. I mean, they're pretty symbiotic. You can't have downtown without residents, and you can't, you know, your residents need that downtown. Or
100%.
Want the downtown.
We're all Clarkston.
Yeah, that's interesting. Speaking of Clarkston, okay, so you guys have lived here a long time. I don't know if you thought about this before you got here, but looking for some hidden gems, some little, some secret stories that maybe you want to reveal today.
or ghosts.
Yeah. We do like to hear about ghost stories, but anything, what's the, something that people may not know about Clarkston? A hidden spot, a hidden story, a hidden ghost.
A book, perhaps.
A book that you, any kind of
book,
little gem.
I have to say that at the time that we owned 90 North Main, which we did for a while, and we cleaned it all out, and we were one of the stops for the third grade tour, and so I sat in the front on the steps, and I was the hostess. The stories of families when they came in of what went on in the building.
Tell me which building.
90 North Main.
Where Union Joints are,
the
their headquarters.
Hall. Oh, Old Township Hall. Gotcha. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, so we owned that until we made the switch.
Okay.
And then the township moved into one of our buildings, and we took over 90 North Main.
So wait,
it was quite a bit of controversy at the time.
Okay. You owned the one that the township's in now?
Yeah, we built those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Right behind the old Food Town, now Jack. So, that property was ours, and Bob built those.
Okay.
But the stories of, you know, the dog obedience classes and dance classes and cooking classes, and so we were going to try to incorporate those into what we put into that building. Unfortunately, none of that could possibly ever be approved, so we finally gave up and Kirk Tello took the building over.
Okay.
But no, the stories of people just would walk in and say, I remember coming to dance class with my husband. Mm. It was our big night out. And
in the library right next door.
That
was the library.
Yeah.
And turned into the police department.
Mm-hmm. So I just thought of this as Peg was talking. A hidden gem, as far as I know, it's still there. The airplane behind there. Yeah. Is the airplane still back there?
It is. And my husband just drove by. He's like, why is there an airplane back there? I have no idea.
I think it belongs to Kirk Tello.
It does belong to Kirk Tello when he brought it in. Another thing about that particular building is there is an underground tunnel that goes from the big building to the building behind. It was a factory, and they made parachutes. And that's where the people went from the main building underneath into the back building.
Why did they need a tunnel?
I don't know. Henry Ford, I think, built it originally.
Yes, right?
And I think that was part of his, you know, he wanted to do everything water-powered, which is why the dam is there.
Right.
that's what we call it.
Yeah.
For your listeners, though, if they're looking for the airplane, it's behind 90 North Main.
Behind that second building?
Right behind it.
It's
to the right. It's between the library and the big building.
Is it? Yeah.
You can see it.
Like you have to drive back there?
You can see it coming down.
I have never seen an airplane driving down. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can't?
You just drive back to the parking lot and you can see it.
It's a full-size airplane.
Is it a military airplane?
I think it's a military.
I don't remember.
That's a curiosity.
It's not a big plane. It's not a.
Okay.
It's a private plane.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I did gymnastics up there.
See?
There's a story
everywhere.
That building is.
If you can't see it, it's probably a stealth bomber.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is.
Exactly.
No, if you look right going down M15, if you're stuck in traffic, right in the strip that runs between the little white house and the red brick building, you will see an airplane.
Okay, that was a great hidden gem.
I know. Yeah. Any ghosts?
I don't know any ghosts.
We've talked about ghosts a lot. I don't know how it came up or when, but we're considering doing an event that's ghost related, maybe in the fall. So we're compiling information here. At the house that we're at, I feel like there's some ghosts.
Didn't the HTC do something like that? A walk?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Was it the cemetery tour?
I think it was about the village. I could be wrong, but
HTC
did something about that. Yeah.
Any other hidden gems or secret stories that you want to reveal about our town?
I can't think of anything.
I'm too new. I don't know.
Too new.
I'm trying to think of buildings.
These two are much more long-lived here.
Yeah, I can't think of any other stories.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
I really think sometime you guys should do a podcast. Get some of the old timers, children, and get them to come here and tell, like the guys who people lived on Robertson Court.
Right.
And many of them are not around anymore, but their children are, and their children are still telling stories.
Yeah. I feel like one of the fun things about this is hearing stories about Clarkston and, everyone has a story about
Carolyn
that building.
Carolyn Burgess has been back. She's been there for a long time. Tim, her son.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that.
He lives right next door to Mark.
Oh, okay.
Or she does.
Okay.
Yeah, Tom. Yeah.
I feel like I talk about this a lot, but somebody mentioned how the bake shop used to be open 24 hours a day.
It does sound vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I do not ever remember that. I do remember the bookstore, though, that a car hit. Remember that? Demolished the building. And that was
it was right on
the corner before where Honcho's starts.
Yeah, the gray building.
And I mean, that car went right up the building.
Oh,
it was like
car.
Laid up on it. Yeah, it hit the side of the building. So that, I think, was the end of that.
The big store, that's the one that was right next to Terry's Market?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was in a different location?
Aren't you talking, we're still talking about the current Clarkston Village Bakery.
Yeah.
The one that's still there.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next to Hallman's.
It used to be open longer, because I remember going by and seeing people sitting in there late at night.
Yeah.
Was it next to Hallman's? Isn't that what was in?
Hallman's is where Essence on Main is now.
Okay.
And then the old Sporting Goods was right next to that at the corner, where the little 2 South Diner is.
That was Coaches?
Coaches Corner?
Long before Coaches. It was just called Clarkston Sporting Goods.
Oh, and was there a bait shop, too? Didn't we talk about how there used to be a bait shop down there somewhere?
That was the bait shop.
That was the
back
the bait
of the
shop.
Sporting Goods was the bait shop.
Okay.
I know how we got into ghosts, because the Masons, when the Masons were here.
Oh, yeah.
Because their building has a known ghost. What, I forget his name.
Oh, yeah, I forget it, too.
A number of people who live in old houses have told me they have ghosts, but I could, since it goes in one ear and out the other, I couldn't tell you who those people
were. Well, the
next
time, send them to us.
Anyway, well, so as we kind of wrap up, think about things that you may have wanted to talk about that we haven't talked about, but also kind of your hope for the future for Clarkston.
Can I talk about her book?
Oh, yeah, you wanted to talk about that.
Oh, I will. What did I say? This was in 2018. I just read about, there was something in the Oakland Press about this soldier a soldier that came back and he severely injured and how his settlement back home was and how his children had to deal with his their friends. And so I called his wife and I got a couple copies, and so when I got them I just thought it was so impressive, and because everybody knows a veteran and many of these veterans don't just look like that, but they have some severe problems, and our veterans are not being cared for. So I thought it was a fascinating book, and I took it to the American Legion. I bought a couple of them, took it to the Legion, and I said I thought it would be a great thing for them to sponsor, and they did, and we supplied them to all of the elementary schools, the libraries, the little libraries, and I keep one on our table at home for my kids' friends, my grandkids' friends to read. I think it's a very important book for small children to have some understanding of what we have. So many veterans in this country and many so disabled, and I think it's good for them to be exposed to something like that. So I'm very proud that the American Legion took it up.
Yes. And what's the name of it, and who's the
it's
author?
It's called A Hero at Home.
And who's the author?
Sarah Berardo, and she is the wife of and the mother in the family. So it's a great book, but it's available in the schools, all the elementary school,
the
little libraries, and the library.
Oh, the little library.
And the big library.
Okay.
And on Amazon.
Probably. Mm-hmm. And on Amazon, he's saying.
Okay.
I would know about that. I bought it from the family.
Okay.
But anyway, I think it's a really good informative book for kids.
Yeah, I'm glad you remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So wrapping up, hope for the future for Clarkston as you guys start this new year. Are you hoping things
actually
go?
Sue said it. We want it to
let's
be
let's have a nice city.
Let's have people be treated fairly, kindly, respectfully. You know, your approach is huge in how things develop with a conversation. And I think in our small community where we all live and know each other, the amount of litigation is so ridiculously unnecessary and expensive and such a waste of money. And I think sometimes if people can sit down and talk to each other, a lot can be resolved. But I think we need to remember that where we live is not, you know, it's a place where people live. And so I think we need to be respectful of that.
I think we need to embrace what we have. And we didn't get this overnight, this whole community effect that we have. But we just need to embrace it and recognize the fact that there's probably a couple dozen communities all around us in Oakland County and probably Northern Genesee or something like that that would get their eye teeth to have a community like this, and we have it. And just be able to embrace that.
Two words that each of them said, embrace the community and respect for each other, and respect for not just the members of the community, but respect for the historical value of the city of Clarkston. And I think we should do that. I think everybody on council does that, and hopefully we'll continue and see that go into the future.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I like what you said. That's a nice slogan for Clarkston.
Yeah.
Nice city.
It is.
It means a lot.
We had our signs.
It was.
Rick Dickowski and I ran for council 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And we had those signs all over the
and
place.
And they all had big yellow smiles on them.
Oh, I remember them.
Yeah.
That was you and Rick. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think mm-hmm. part of what I personally think we need to remember is this is not Dearborn. This is a place where people live, and I think we need to be tolerant. And when I believe most people, when they know what they're expected of, will do it. And I think when they're being asked to do something, I think they need it just about respect, kindness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Well, we certainly appreciate you guys coming on today to talk to us. And we always ask everybody before we leave, who would you recommend we talk to next? So if you guys have a few people you could recommend.
I have a list.
Let's hear it.
I really wish so it was like a roll.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
If you don't want me to read the whole thing.
Yeah, let's hear them.
So I started with Emily Duthin and Sue Julian, who are the Blue Heron Headwaters Land Conservancy. Mm-hmm. They're probably on your list. Yeah. Tony Smith and Jonathan Smith. Jonathan Smith is the city manager, and Tony is the president of the Clarkston Community Historical Society, and Tony runs the museum. For
are
that
they
organization.
Related? They're both
spouses? Yes, spouses.
Oh, got it.
I'm going to say her name wrong. Emma Davis Donay from Essence on Main, the owner there. Yep. She would be awesome. Yep. Julie Meredith from the Clarkston Independence District Library. Debbie Berry, who's president of the Optimist Club. Kirk Attella, Ann Stevenson, and Eric Lines from Union Joints. Mm-hmm. Ed Adler and Bob Roth and Tara Hansen, who are related to Peg, and I think they would be awesome. They could maybe talk about the Dam Dam.
They will talk about the Dam.
And here's one group, Laura Rogers, Amy Wilson, who ran the Clarkston Christmas Market, and the robotics team Rush, the Clarkston High School team Rush, whose lead teacher was Kyle Hughes. Mm-hmm. They ran the parade, and maybe all those people together. I know you said you don't necessarily want a big group. That's my list.
Wow.
Yeah, they run the Christmas parade, the lighted
parade. Between the parade and the Christmas market.
Can we have your list?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Can we have it?
And I had one name I didn't read.
Tom Stone.
I think Tom Stone has lots of history, so he's another possibility.
Tom Stone would be a great guest.
Is he a mystery man?
No, that's Chuck.
Oh, Chuck. Okay. All right.
Tom Stone has been mentioned before.
Yes.
Good. He is the voice of authority. He and I catch up for lunch every once in a while, so I can get his. He's like my mentor.
Nice.
Yeah, he's got a wealth of information. A lot of what Sue just mentioned, I mentioned. The other one, though, I wanted to talk or mention was Meals on Wheels. I did that with our kids for 2.5, 3 years when they were small, well, middle school. And over the course, I think I was telling you, over the course of a summer, whoever was at our house Friday night for sleepovers knew to be in my car at 9 o'clock the next morning.
Oh, wow.
And over the course of the summer, I think we counted 50 kids came with us. They have no idea about what our elderly people that are shut-ins are experiencing. Yeah. It was a wealth of information. We had the most incredible conversations driving between 12 homes, delivering food, and the kids would come in. One of them, she had never, had no idea what she was walking into. I couldn't get her out of their homes. And she said, Mrs. Roth, I can't wait to come on and do this again.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was a good experience. So people with small children, the elderly appreciate it more than you can even imagine. They wait for these. Some of them are shut-ins that don't see people all week.
Okay.
It's really an important program, but it's great for children to learn.
Yeah, I don't often hear about kids participating.
Normally they don't.
That's great.
I mean, these people, when I would walk in with our little kids, and I had three of them, so I would have six. And they were just mesmerized, and they had treats ready for them.
Oh,
they planned. Cute. I mean, I know this one couple, he was 90, she was 91, he was 93, and we were their only people that they saw all week long.
Wow. Mm.
Other than during the week, other
meals on wheels.
When people delivered, but it's just a really good learning lesson for kids.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Any recommendations, Ted?
I had a list, but they took it.
Kind of monopolized the list.
Kind of swipe my list on me. So.
No one else to add? It's a very comprehensive list.
Yeah.
It's a good list, So thank you. We appreciate it.
Yes.
And we appreciate your time.
Well,
thank you.
I love what you guys are doing. I think it's such a great, and the board, the game is really, really cool.
It is exciting.
We're excited.
Is brought to you by Independence Television, located inside Clarkston High School. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Independence Television, Independence Township, or Clarkston Community Schools.